All right, let's welcome everybody in to our full two-hour Four Nations edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and 360 Sportsnet as well. Sportsnet Plus, we're covered here for the next 2 hours.
We're lots of places.
Nick Kyprios, that was Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick pushing all the right buttons. Sammy, you okay over there? We just finished watching a win by Team Canada that sets up a Canada-USA final.
Woohoo!
Thursday night. Everything seemed to be well in control. We had cruise control after the first 20 minutes. And then the last
patch.
2 minutes, only the savior, Sid Crosby, take a hit to make a play.
Just a bully at the end. End this stupid thing. Give me that. What a play by Sid.
All in all, a win for Team Canada, and Sammy can take a deep breath.
I actually don't even want them to play Thursday. Can we just flip a coin? I am so nervous already for that, but that was a crazy end of the game. Like, you know, we're rushing around here to get everything ready for the show. Like, we're on at 4, you know, get the lineup printed, everything figured out. And I'm kind of just getting things ready. And I see the first one go in. I look at Kipper. I'm like, do we really have to do this? And then the second goes in. I'm like, well, he said to me, he's like, this is a bit of a game here. All of a sudden, Granlund shoots one in. Like, why am I stressing about this? This game was 4-0. So I wouldn't say it leaves the best taste in your mouth, but a win's a win. You look ahead to Thursday, but man, Finns, they don't quit.
Yeah, kudos to them for battling back. But that, I mean, I understand that everyone had a little nervous moment there. I understand you don't want those pucks to go in, but for 55 minutes of that game, that sure was exactly what you expected out of Canada. Handle your business. Big guys showed up. You know, first and second stars are McDavid, McKinnon. Binnington much better. Does the last few minutes change how you feel about the whole thing that much, Kip?
We can look at a few breakdowns on the goal, but we can also just start in net. I don't think that, I'm not speaking for you guys, but anybody surprised Jordan Binnington officially named the starter earlier today?
Yes.
You're surprised?
100% surprised. Oh, I thought for sure it'd be Hill.
Wow.
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh.
Like, I understand.
Bite my tongue. I thought we would all be unanimous. There was no time for Hill.
I mean, there's no time for Hill.
I got no time for Binnington right now.
You find a way to lose this game, you're going to get roasted.
Well, for if you put Hill in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you need it to go down with the ship on Binnington.
I don't think it's any different. If you stick with Binnington after he gives up a couple of softies, or at least one softie, and he gives up a bunch in this one and looks bad, you go, God, you had Aiden Hill right there. Did he have to go back to the guy who had been struggling? I just figured, Kip, this is not a tournament that's long enough to let someone work through difficulties. So I thought they'd go to Hill. I don't disagree with them going to Binnington. I just expected them to go to Hill.
I don't think he's working through anything. I think this is who he is.
I agree with that.
So that's, and the acceptance of who he is, they're on board with it.
Yeah. Okay, clearly they are, but I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that 24 hours ago that they were fully Team Binnington.
Do you think, you know, and there's a lot to talk about with Cooper here, but do you think like part of Cooper's mentality with the way he is with the Lightning where he just has his starting goal. He's got a very good starting goal. He's had a very good starting goalie for a long time, but he just, that's the guy that plays and whatever happens.
I do like it.
You know, it's just like, I'm not screwing around with this. He hasn't been bad
enough.
Remember
Vasilevsky didn't get pulled the whole year? Yeah, the playoffs, they scored like 7 on him. You're like, nope, he's in there still.
I mean, I don't know if that bleeds over. Obviously, there's been some Lightning flavor to this.
What about Doug Armstrong saying, hey, yeah, but I trust this guy.
I don't ever recall Vasilevsky having
a
reputation for, he's going to let a bad goal in.
No, of course not.
And this guy does.
Yes.
This guy is one bad goal a game. And you can get away with it against Sweden. You can get away with it against Finland, as they did today.
Barely on both accounts, but yes.
barely on both accounts, but your lineup should be good enough where he can let in a bad goal, you still win.
Mm-hmm.
But not Saturday night.
Yeah.
Saturday night, one bad goal was the difference between a game going in overtime or losing in regulation. And his bad goal Saturday night lost the game for them.
Really?
In 60 minutes.
Yeah. And so I guess that's part of why I thought they'd say, okay, well, we just can't go back. Now, one thing I will say about that goal is it's not just the goal. It's the timing of the goal where you talk about the start, the electricity, yeah. the adrenaline, the McDavid beautiful goal. And then all of a sudden, the way that that goal changes the tone of the game and the shape of the way you have to play. If you can score the next one and make the Americans have to go get one and take chances, it opens things right up. The second, all right, we're back to a tie game. U.S. can fall back in its structure. It changes the play from there. And that, to me, was why it was so damaging. This says to me, by going back to him, a lot more about they don't think much Aiden Hill. They don't think he's the better guy. Yeah. They just, Bennington's won the cup. They trust him. I know Hill has too, but.
I guess you're just not, you're not going to 2010 Luongo here.
No.
It's another guy that's a very similar goalie in Aiden Hill. So we'll see about that. But, I mean, do you guys want to talk more about Finland or you guys want to talk about Saturday night?
What happened Saturday? What's the big deal about Saturday?
Yeah, I think we're wasting everyone's time if we do too much Finland. We can get to it if we have more time.
We are. We're going to try to track down Edzo at Eddie Olchuk.
Mm-hmm. Open for 5 o'clock
TNT. So we should have him at the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, we'll try to get some sound too as well from the hockey game as it trickles in. But like sit back and relax on Family Day and get our crazy takes.
Let's talk hockey.
Yeah, happy family day, guys.
Happy family day. So, Saturday night. I think that's the most electric hockey game outside of a cup final, and probably including because it wasn't two fan bases, heart rates. It was the collective nations. You're not going to poo-poo that game. God,
I'm not going to poo-poo it. I'm not going to poo-poo it, but like, there's people screaming that was the greatest hockey game that we've ever seen on the planet. Okay. And I'm like, not really. Not really.
No.
But I get the buildup and the excitement and the fights. I get all of that. And like the stars were aligned beautifully for this game. And,
yes.
and you cannot hide the political aspect of it that built this thing up. But once the game settled down, it was a lot of kind of cancellation. To me, it was a lot of Tortorella hockey, clog the neutral zone, keep everything on the outside. The Stars couldn't get going. There's a lot of frustration in that game,
but
too.
But to me, it was beautiful hockey. Like, it was the Americans defended like hell. You had guys, Matthews defends well. Like, it was really hard to get anywhere. And I thought plays were still made, but there was no breakdowns. And so it was like elite on elite. And you said cancellations, and I agree that there's a lot of neutralizing plays. But, I mean, if you watch a game where there's a lot of breakdowns of goals, you go, bah, it stinks. No one defends.
I'm not saying that it was not entertaining or it was not a special game.
Right.
But the best game ever in the history of mankind.
But who said that?
Take it easy.
Who said that?
Oh, there you. I don't know, Eric Engels. Okay.
I
don't know. I mean, there's a few of them out there.
Buddy, people enjoyed it. It was unbelievable.
I'm not saying that.
But people, I mean, anybody says, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. It's what we always do. It's just people bloviate about these things. But that first period.
9 seconds in, people were calling it the greatest start. And it's like, okay, three fights.
It was incredible.
But it's not the actual game. It's the fights.
Well, that's the start of the game. I mean, challenge that. Give me the next best start to a game.
But that's if you like that. If you don't like it, then it's not.
But you do like it.
Everyone likes it.
Who doesn't like it?
Not everybody.
Okay. But who cares about them? Are we doing the show for the people that don't like that? Or are we doing it for the show who do like that?
I loved it. Me personally. But I'm just not ready to anoint it the greatest hockey game on the planet. That's all.
This egg sucks. This sucks.
You thought it was the greatest thing you've ever seen?
No, I didn't say that. Those are your words. I said it was the most electric start, and that was an unbelievable hockey game.
For the record, 2002 gold medal game, Canada versus USA, is the greatest hockey game ever. That's my favorite hockey game ever. I think that's the greatest hockey game ever. For the record.
Yeah.
But having not had best-on-best hockey for over almost a decade,
Sammy,
having
again,
it built up.
The stars are lined up. When you haven't eaten in 9 years, your next meal will be the greatest meal you've ever had.
And the next meal
That's
was...
That's what we saw
but
Saturday night.
It was Thanksgiving dinner after that. It was like... You know, it wasn't like the first meal back was McDonald's. Those guys came out and cared and battled and fought.
Fought!
I mean, it was... which literally, fought. Watching that Canada-USA jerseys, you know, like sitting there with my 8-year-old son, the first time I've watched a full game with him since the Leafs lost. And talk about, like, you couldn't pry him away from that game. I said to you before here, I'm reading in the Dallas-Fort Worth paper about how hockey's back. Bill Simmons is tweeting about it. Nationally, internationally, this made waves.
Listen, I don't want to poo-poo anymore, but I have to.
Why?
I have to.
Why?
Because
why are you doing this?
Who knows if it's back?
It's back!
Who is the guy in Dallas to say that it's back?
Tim Kalishaw.
Okay? Listen, we've got 40 of the best players in the league on the ice.
Yes. Who cares?
Exactly.
Yes.
We're going to go back to the NHL. And we're going to have maybe 4 of them on the ice in a game if we're lucky. And the rest of them are not going to be as good as those guys are.
You have
or some of them won't even care as much as those guys did.
Can we enjoy the one where they were all out there caring and trying?
I'm just saying.
why would I think about that when I just literally got to watch that? And today, Thursday.
But we are going to go back to the game that we've played.
That's future
before.
Me's problem. I get to worry about Canada and USA on Thursday night, baby.
So it's just
rematch.
Back for a week.
Yes.
It's back for a week.
No.
It made inroads into people's attention.
All right. Okay. Now, part of my issue is that I can't watch Saturday and just say, oh, it was great. Mm. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, we lost.
From a Canadian point of view. Mm-hmm. And I thought Saturday kind of sucked for Canada on many levels.
Okay.
The nation or the hockey team?
The hockey team.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because Canada's management team was not prepared for that start. Okay? And I'll just start by the roster. You have the Tkachuk brothers. We've talked since the inception of this tournament on what the Tkachuk brothers, the style of play, what they can do, what they're capable of doing. And then you guys go out there, management, and you bring us Seth Jarvis and Konechny at 5'10", and you leave 6'5" Tom Wilson home. You start that game Saturday night with Tom Wilson on the ice. That doesn't happen. Matthew Tkachuk is not the first fight. I guarantee you, Matthew Tkachuk is scared of Tom Wilson. He wouldn't have touched or gone near him with a 10-foot pole.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
But Kip,
guaranteed.
We sitting here, none of us anticipated it to look like that.
No. Friday, I told you guys that I expect fireworks.
Yeah.
Fireworks. Okay? Who didn't expect it? Who didn't expect it?
You know, you didn't expect it.
What do you think fireworks were?
3 weeks prior to that, you weren't sure if anyone would care at all about the event. So when they're picking the team in December.
But you got to cover yourself. If I'm sitting here as an analyst, but if I'm sitting there as management, I got to cover off the Tkachuks. I'm not doing it with Seth Jarvis on the team.
How nice was it? How nice was it having Sam Bennett in there?
Like it's not enough.
But thank God he was
there. Thank God he was, and it still wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Okay? The lineup cannot go up against America Thursday night and look much different than they did Saturday night. I'm sorry, but unless the Americans roll over and Saturday night's a one-off. Unless they roll over and they go, oh, God, we can't do that again. And then they want to go and try to Finland them up. Then Canada's got a chance.
But I'll say this. I don't think once the game got started, the U.S. physically dominated Canada. And I will say...
What are you talking about? Okay.
You thought they did?
Did you see McAvoy drive McDavid?
The same way I saw Bennett running guys over?
Did you not see McAvoy drive Sidney Crosby's head into the ice early.
Well, you want someone to go fight him?
I want something.
Yeah.
I want something. I'm not saying, I think Ron McLean in the first intermission looked at the panel and said, should someone have jumped McAvoy? No, that's not what you do, and that's not what you act. But you don't let him get away with that with nothing. Zero. Okay?
You know, to me, it's like we lose a game 2-1.
3-1. They shot one.
Well, three, right. There's empty netter.
Yeah.
2-1, 3-1. And, you know, that to me is not the separating factor in the game.
It was
we
for
didn't
me.
Score enough.
It's me.
Yeah.
I thought after that hit, McDavid was not anywhere near as effective. I thought that hit canceled him after that.
There is part of me to what you're saying, Kipper, that I watched that American team against Canada on Saturday night, and you're going to have a chance on Thursday to potentially, you know, come back. But there is part of me watching Saturday night being like, that's what we used to look like. That's what Canada used
100%.
To look like. 100%. Used to have the physical forwards, the guys that ran people through the boards. They were the ones initiating. And, you know, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't one of the more heartbreaking outcomes I've had in a sporting event in a long time.
Listen, the hits at the end of the game are pretty close to dead even. I feel like Canada was very physical on the puck, and I thought the Canadian forwards who typically play that way leaned into it a little bit. But what I did like is when the U.S. pushed at the start of that game, so they talked about it in a group chat, they want to have these fights. Brandon Hagel, 180 pounds, says, okay, to Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah. I love that. Colton Parayko, 800 NHL games, one fight. He says okay to JT Miller. These guys weren't scared.
They weren't scared, and good on them. I loved it too.
Yeah.
But it put them on their heels. Despite Connor scoring the first goal, it put them on their heels. It caught them off guard, and I don't think they really, truly recovered after that.
I mean, it was a great start by Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, they were buzzing to start that hockey game.
I thought if there's anything that you're going to be upset about, it would be the second and third period. I thought the first period they were really good. Their one stinker goes through that can't go in, and you feel a lot different if it doesn't. But I think there is some element of truth to what you're talking about. Like I hated seeing McAvoy drive Sid's face into the boards.
But you can't have that. I'm sorry.
It's not a best of seven. You don't have time to work through these.
McAvoy hammering McDavid. There was a play in the game
I would rather turn it into a bloodbath and let them do that to Sidney Crosby.
Mm.
Okay.
But they don't have, like, I guess in that
they
go back to
the
original point.
They don't have it.
I think to Borny's point earlier, it's hard to sit here and say, you know, they have to take Tom Wilson. And listen, there was an argument to take Tom Wilson without this, but to be like, hey, we have to take a bunch of goons because what everybody was calling it a glorified.
Tom Wilson's not a goon.
No, but like they're, I mean, just for the.
He's one of the toughest guys in the league who can play.
I understand, Kipper, but everybody, including some of us, we're considering this going to be an all-star break. We didn't know. I thought it was going to be good, and I don't think we all knew that there was going to be a hootenanny to start a USA-Canada game with three straight fights. No one saw that coming,
even
to Borny's point.
Even if you didn't, you got to cover yourself off. That's your job as a management
there's
team.
There's no doubt that you're correct that every person in Canada now, having watched some games, would have said Tom Wilson over Seth Jarvis.
Yeah, but that's every guy who's not paid to lead the country and pick players.
Yep, okay? Fair enough.
Kyle Dubas, skill. You got his Seth Jarvis. He left Tom Wilson home. Seen that movie before?
Jeez, you didn't cherry pick your buddy Doug Armstrong for that one, who's actually in charge, did you?
Is that what happened? Do you know that for sure? Because I mean, that's, if they know that.
That feels selective to me.
Yeah.
Listen, or consistent.
We all
for sure.
We all sat here and said that Seth Jarvis is questionable. And I don't know, Shifley's got a bit of an edge. He runs around sometimes. I think he could elevate. He's a bigger guy. Tom Wilson, Zach Hyman. There's guys that you're looking back on it. But
definitely in retrospect, those names sound more appealing.
And I don't think it's retrospect. I think all of us sat here multiple times and said that we would like those guys on the team. Mm-hmm. And they went in a different direction. There's some surprising choices, but I guess you have your chance on Thursday to redeem it. But if we're being in the trust tree, can I be in the trust tree here, guys? It's just the three of us talking. No one else is listening.
Yeah.
The Thursday is a little bit like it's down the road. Sure, they can win, but it's just 1-1. Mm. They came into your building in Canada after you booed their anthem and they started fights with you. They are running your captain into the end boards. They look like the bigger, stronger, faster team. And even if they win Thursday, I'm still going to have that game in the back of my head. That's always going to be there. That sucked. That sucked.
Do we not?
Sorry.
Do we not?
The result, having them win, having them out physical, having them to clog the middle of the ice, play what looked like our game against us, that sucked. And Thursday could be great, and they could win.
Do we expect anything different out of the U.S. Thursday night?
I don't think it's going to be fight night. Do you think it'll start with three fights in 9 seconds?
No, I'm not. I mean, I don't think so because the odds are still overwhelmingly against that start. But if you're the U.S. and you did it Saturday night and you won, and then you don't do it Thursday night in home on your home soil in Boston and you lose, what's that say about you guys?
You might have one. I mean, to me, it would be superstition at that point because, as we said, Canada came out 1-0, more shots, more control of play. So I don't think it jump-started their team to play well. But if you want to say we did it and then we won, you might as well. It's like not changing your socks, I
think you put them on their heels.
So do you...
Who shut down? Who didn't play well face of that?
I think there's some differences going into...
Sid
didn't play great.
Sid didn't play well.
Yeah. I mean,
Connor didn't. I didn't think Connor played well after his goal and the hit. I didn't think he played really well.
No,
Marner didn't play well. Marchand didn't play well. Everybody.
Both teams got shut down. It was a clinic of defensive hockey, and two bad goals go in.
Yeah. Certainly when you can't break the inside, you miss Cale Makar.
So that's
Theodore, Petrangelo. There's a few guys there that would have been nice to have.
So going into Thursday, if we're looking ahead to that, which we're going to have a lot of time to do it, but what gives you more confidence on the power rankings of things, there's no question number one is Cale Makar.
Mm-hmm.
Watching them play with Cale Makar today and watching the pop that he had and watching what he does for the game, it's a massive blow. Like, not having him in that game Saturday night sucks. So does that make you feel better having him in going up against them on Thursday?
No Quinn Hughes Saturday, so I don't know. It's the closest thing you could have to a wash.
For sure. But he was never involved to begin with, right?
Makar comes back in. How does it not give Canada a huge lift Thursday?
Yeah, right? And then the lineup changes were made today where they shuffled the lines, and I thought, again, against Finland, and Finland comes back, they make a game of it. The top six looks a lot better now to me than it did before. So we can get into that a little bit with Point going up, Marner going down. I thought it was a good adjustment for Cooper.
Yeah.
Point up there.
Yeah. I don't know your thoughts on that. I thought it worked.
Again, with so little room out there and some guys being a little frustrated, I think it's always good for a coach to not leave things too stale for too long.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it until it kind of clicks a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see him come off for this game against Finland and then what carries on ultimately to start Thursday night.
The thing that stood out, so you come off that U.S. game and you look at the time on ice for guys, and Nathan MacKinnon played like 18:30. Like, he plays 22:30 per game in the regular season. I think Hagel, I want to say, played 13 minutes, and I thought he was one of Canada's best forwards. Same with Point was 16 and a half, and he plays, he's so effective. I just think he pushes the D back a bit for McDavid, makes space, and they asked him about playing with McDavid. That was the one thing he said, just try to make space for him. And, worked for them today. Mark Stone had a good game too. So the changes seem to have worked. I can't see them doing too much different. I can't imagine Jarvis coming in for Konechny.
No.
Konechny end up playing today?
That's a good question.
He was the least on the team, I believe. If I'm looking at it here.
I thought Marner was the least.
He's second least on the team. For forwards. So I'm just pulling it up in front of me here quickly.
Just pulling it, yeah. So,
Jeopardy music. Time on ice. I mean, there was Marner played the second least, 12:46. Konechny played 12:11. But nobody was above 16:37. Reinhardt led forwards in time with 16:37. So they're really rotating the lines.
Sure, he led forwards with 16-something?
Yep.
Oh, okay, so no one played much.
Yeah, they were
You get up in the game, you try to spread it around. Yeah.
And now, Cale Makar ended up playing 23:57 tonight.
There was a bad flu bug going on in Montreal. Like, I think one of the hotels got hit really, really hard.
Is that right?
Someone told me that maybe there might have been someone from the league office that needed to be hospitalized,
oh,
if
really?
I'm not mistaken, on
Jeez.
a on a
well, I mean, how sick Makar must have been feeling.
Must have been brutal. Outside of any injury that we don't know about, that's the logical explanation for Makar missing Saturday night. Was he got hit hard by a flu bug?
Yeah, I mean, he had to be pretty sick to be held out of that game, especially with he knows how important he is. He's one of the best players in the world. That's where you want to play. So he had to be really sick. So yeah, you look at the ice times for today. It's just kind of, I don't think it tells you a lot just with the way the game was going. Marner does, everyone's yelling at me on Twitter to be like, hey, Kipper, Marner played the second least. So here you go. I'm doing it. I mean, what do you want? He played the second least. We got to talk about him.
There's not a ton of room out there.
There's not.
Right?
There's not.
So.
Konechny, yeah. So, no one played a ton of minutes tonight. Sid played 14:53.
Yeah.
Sam Bennett, 14:11.
Yeah, I don't think it's been a great tournament for Marner so far, but there's still a game left here. But yeah, he shoots one in the net in the overtime and against Sweden, but I don't think it's been particularly great. But I also think, you know, everybody wants to hammer him, and you know, it's not just Leaf fans that are doing it now, it's a nation that's doing it, and I think it's confirmation bias for a lot of people.
I also think, you know, that Coop really does like him.
Yep.
You know, like, and I think that big, you know, I think he was second most time on ice against the Americans. I want to say he played 19 and a half minutes.
The first game, what was the game where he was just 20 seconds behind?
That was the first game.
The first game?
Against Finland.
Against Finland.
Sorry, against Sweden.
Against Sweden.
Yeah, my bad.
And
just looking up.
And then it's you brought this point up earlier in our show that, you know, he relies a lot on it, on what you know, and that's Cirelli and Hagel.
Yeah, I think Hagel is a guy who's going to get a little bit more opportunity in the next game. Just in terms of the competitive factor, getting to the net, pushing back through guys, that's going to be fascinating. I am curious to see what Sweden-USA looks like tonight. You know, it doesn't matter. Tkachuk's not going to play.
Yeah.
I think Sweden is not dressing Mattias Ekholm and
Rasmus Andersson. Rasmus Andersson's going in.
Yeah.
But
another good. Oh, Arvidsson.
Arvidsson's going out. And Leo Carlson's going in.
If Matthew Tkachuk's hurting, I pull a reverse Thursday night. I go and challenge him right off the gate. First shift.
Yeah.
You know, you want a turtle? You want a cower in front of your home soil here? Go ahead. You got to turn me down.
It's also, I think it's fascinating that he asked Brandon Hagel to go. I don't know who else would have been out there.
But he's not even a fighter.
That's what I mean.
Matthew Tkachuk's not a fighter.
No, but he's 205 pounds.
He never fought in junior.
Okay. But he's fought in the NHL.
I mean, he's definitely fought more than Hagel.
He's fought. Yeah. But he's not that guy.
No, he's certainly not. I wrote about it in my article, and I want to say he's got, no, it was JT Miller. JT Miller's 35 fights, and Parayko, who had one. So
I thought Parayko,
JT Miller has 35 fights?
Yeah. It's really? Seven as a rookie.
I thought he was an uppercut away from ending his night early.
Do you see he uppercut himself? Do you see
the video?
He punched his own helmet off his head.
Yeah, I mean, Parayko didn't look like he was necessarily comfortable in that, but he
you know what, Sammy? Like, you know what? That start shook up a lot of guys who weren't comfortable in that environment. They want a nicer, easier environment. I think that had to play out a little bit Saturday night, too.
I love Parayko. I got to tell you, this tournament has changed me on a few guys. Josh Morrissey is, I love him.
Yeah.
He really skates well.
Josh Morrissey, outside of Makar, is like their most important defenseman.
Yeah, agreed. Moves the puck. Like, he's really, really good. Winnipeg Jets fans are just like, we know. Talk about him during the season.
It's Jets. It's time for Jets talk.
Morrissey, holy crap, do I like him.
Braden Point, no surprises there. He's got a presence when he's out there.
He really does.
Doesn't seem fazed by the moment. One of those guys, just a grindy sort of guy. Sid tonight, +3. I think the only guy, him and McKinnon.
Sid made the biggest play of the game, as far as I'm concerned.
Shutting her down
The hit in the neutral zone and then ending the game.
I think he's leading the tournament in points with a goal and four assists.
Last thing I want to bring up before we go to break, and we have all the principals involved in today's game. We can listen to some of the audio after the break. Thomas Harley plays on Saturday night, and I was impressed with a guy.
It's a big guy, eh?
Well, I mean, he wasn't on my radar. If there's anyone who built a team, I think you said this to me on Friday, but if there's anybody who built a team, like, in the media, Harley was not in the conversation for anybody. And for having him step into that game, I got to tell you, weren't you guys a little nervous about the potential of him going in there?
Yeah, he was excellent.
He looked good. So I thought even today that if he was eligible to play, he would have been in the conversation.
Sandheim played well today.
He did.
Tough spot.
The whole thing kind of goofy about like
weird
guys. Well, let's be honest. They got caught with their pants down a bit. They didn't know what to do here. There was nothing written about this. They were like, he can't play. Okay. But now that he's played, he can play.
Why was there nothing written about it? Like, why are like something so obvious as sickness or health that could leave you short?
Two guys down. You only had to be two guys down before it was an emergency.
Like, so if like three guys get the flu or something, like you're cooked.
And I thought if you were going to bring someone, you were allowed to bring someone. I wonder if Mackenzie Weegar or someone was told, hey, maybe don't go to Cabo. Weegar had the Phil Kessel tweet that was like,
no, I think it was the opposite. They said, go to Cabo. We don't want you to miss your vacation to come and just sit and do nothing.
Just in case we don't need you. So they told him to go. But I bet you there's some guys now who are like, I'd have stayed home.
Yeah.
To have played in that game.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who would like to play in that game, I would imagine.
But, you know,
to go and watch and cheerlead.
100%. No.
Yeah.
You'd rather be on a
bench. And that's where you're
Harley
caught.
Full marks for his showing, but tough change on the second goal by Harley, but otherwise, very good showing. All right.
Okay. Whew. Whew. That was contentious, boys.
Wow.
I love it.
31 minutes in. All right, still got Edzo to go.
We'll hear from...
Give me a chance.
Here, I'm just see who we got here. We'll hear from Sid. We can hear from Point, Bennington, a whole bunch of different stuff after the break. So we'll come back, listen to a little bit of audio, talk a little bit more, try not to yell at each other anymore. Maybe we will.
Four Nations. Wow. That was a good 30 minutes right there.
Good block.
Plenty more still. Don't go away. Real Kipper and Bourne back after these words.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Top of the hour, we'll track down Eddie Olchuk. And, I don't know, Sammy, are we going to get some sound coming out of Boston?
Yeah, apparently John Cooper's pretty close to talking here, so maybe we'll wait a couple seconds here. And the Finnish coach just finished speaking, so I'm sure they'll go to him after that. But is there anything else that we left on the bone after that first block?
Well, it depends if you want to do more U.S. or Finland. Finland, I thought the decision to not use UC Saros. I know Lankinen's having a great year. I know Saros got lit up by the U.S., but he's still UC Saros.
Mm-hmm.
Has he won a Vezina? At least he's been nominated several times.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know, rather see you go down with your...
It's not a goaltender's tournament.
No.
Although, I don't know, is Bennington's numbers...
Yeah, they looked...
Is he 900 save percent?
No, not after that minute and a half. Yeah, he was below going into tonight and then the
end of
the game.
He was 890.
Yeah.
It's kind of looks like his numbers in
St. Louis. Yeah, it looks very similar to the guys. Now, Hellebuyck should get
like
some
love.
It's
almost like that's who the guy he is.
Right. Hellebuyck should get some love because... I think he's been a 950 and a 963 or something in his two games, and there's been a lot of talk about that Colorado series last year, and can this guy buckle it down for them?
He also has an unbelievable defense in front of him, which is, God love the Winnipeg Jets, but, you know, having a really good goalie with that decor in front of him, like, I don't know.
You got to start thinking about really getting to him Thursday night.
Yeah.
Get in the crease.
You know, Chris Pronger's been tweeting about the type of offense Canada needs, and it's crease hockey.
Well, okay. That's Slavin. It's just, he's
you gotta bump
unbelievable.
Him. Like, okay, maybe take a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you can't have him too comfortable.
He looked He looked very comfortable on Saturday, except for one of the more electric hockey moments I've had in a long time with Connor McDavid breaking in off the right wing and going top corner. That sent the bar into a bit of a tizzy, I would say.
Yeah. No
you
kidding.
Want to drive Sidney Crosby's head into the ice? I get a freebie on Connor Hellebuyck.
You know, it's tough, right? Because next game...
I'm sorry, Sammy, but that's the way you got to look at it sometimes.
Okay, but it's a one-game final coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to spend your energy chasing around Charlie McAvoy?
With that kind of start, okay, and I know that I could still beat Finland and meet you guys again.
Yeah.
I'm taking more skin off of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
You're saying at the break you probably don't finish that game.
Listen, I'm a sore loser.
Yeah.
I'm the first one to admit it. But
I'm very gracious.
When I see the Tkachuk brothers start the game like that, The only thing I want to say is, okay, you guys got the way you wanted it started. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the way I want it finished. Mm-hmm. And I would have rather it look like 1987 World Juniors,
The punch up in somewhere is not what it's called, but the punch up somewhere.
I would almost like to have finished the game that way.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to go to Coop?
Then losing 3-1 Saturday night.
All right, let's go to John Cooper.
Think of your team's performance for the first 53 minutes, and what was the last 7 minutes like for the coach behind the bench?
I don't think. I thought we played extremely well tonight. The way we manage the puck, you get the best players in the world doing things they're probably not accustomed to, and all for the benefit of, you know, our team winning hockey games. It was a 200-foot game. You know, you've got McDavid, McKinnon, Crosby, and all these guys dumping pucks and going and getting them, and it was the way we had to play to win this game, and we did it. And you know, we can, whatever, you're going to dissect the game. Does it matter by how much you won? The bottom line, the goal was to play Thursday night. So, if anything, we got great video for 5-on-6 if we need it Thursday.
Left side, second row.
Yeah, John, just you mentioned Crosby, McKinnon, McDavid. To be able to look down the bench and know that those guys can deliver in the most important moments, what kind of luxury is that?
Well, here's the thing. Talk to Connor. If you remember against U.S., you know, he's basically one-on-one with Hellebuck, and he passes to Reinhardt. It gets broken up, and I was, you know, talking to Connor, like, somebody's got to shoot it in the net. So why not you? And, you know, to see what he did in the first goal of the game, he just, you know, he kind of circled down, got it, and, you know, Stoney gave him a great screen. But, you know, meeting with those guys last night, it was, you know, you're to win hockey games, you have to be so selfless. But it's weird how you have to tell the players at times to be selfish. And being selfish is like, you have to shoot in the net. Don't. And, well, McKinnon did it twice, and Mac did it once, and Crosby was a little bit more distance, but it's good. Well, no. No. Yeah, don't read them. But you talk to your best players, and that's you know, a lot of the message was going into today's game.
Coach, how did it feel to have Cale Makar back out there, and then knowing he'll be there for Thursday's game?
He's a star, and you can play half the game, and he's a one-man breakout. He just glides out there on the ice, but his reads are phenomenal, and it's a luxury, let's be honest. And it was so glad to have him back.
Right side, first row.
Hey, John, you elevated Braden Point to that line with McDavid and Stone. How do you think that changed your game and your offense?
So it's hard in these tournaments because you don't know who's going to be able to play where, and you know, for Pointer, now he's got to play the wing, and that's not traditionally a spot he can play or he has played often, and so you just, it's short term trial and error, and you see which guys are going and which not, and then you kind of, you know, get this feeling, okay, this should be able to work with this. But you know, I can't come into this tournament and sit here and say, you know, hey, I'm going to put Braden Point with Connor McDavid. Like, there's a little process to this, and you actually have to watch him play and then see what he needs. And now that I'm behind the bench and I'm with these guys in practice, I got a pretty good feeling what they need. And I thought, you know, Pointer would be a good fit with him, and he was.
Left side, third row.
Coop, the betting markets have the Americans favored on Thursday, and I was wondering if you consider yourselves the underdogs.
I don't know. Listen, it's, you know, betting has become quite an industry now. It's amazing that we sit here in a press conference talking about gambling. so I don't care. Who's favored, who's not. We come in here to win this, and it's, I don't know who's making, are you making the lines?
I wish.
Yeah, so I don't know who's making the lines, but I'm really looking forward to the game. This is why we came here, and regardless if other people out there say, we're the underdogs. I mean, everybody in that room thinks we have a really really good chance to win.
Left side standing.
How much, John, though, is getting another crack at the U.S. been a motivating factor for your players after Saturday night? How much do you
think? I can't sit here and say that is the case. Like, even if the U.S. wasn't in the final, we wouldn't be like, we don't want to be in. We want in this. And this is, we came here for this purpose. And now it's win one more game. It just happens to be against the team that beat us after the fireworks that went off on Saturday night. So I think this should be a pretty good made for TV event.
Left side, front row.
John, what you said off the top, having the best players chipping pucks in and dumping pucks and going after it. I'm wondering, what role does Sid have in selling that to the room, if any? And just how have you seen him interact with some of the guys who are representing Canada for the first time in an event like this? Are there any takeaways from how you've seen him interact with the group?
I have, and I've got a ton. And probably a lot more will come out after this tournament ends. But you see somebody from afar, and then you don't want to be disappointed when you meet them in person. It's like, you want to meet your hero, and you want them to be your hero. And to be honestly, like, a lot of times that doesn't happen. And how many times have you said, oh man, I wish, you look at them in a certain light. Well, the light that you look at Sidney Crosby is still the same light when you meet him. And he's a true inspiration to all the young guys in our locker room and even older guys. He is, in our country, he walks on water, and he is as humble as they come. And you can see why he arguably is one of the most respected people in this game.
We'll take a couple more. Right side, back corner.
Coach, fireworks and intrigue aside, what do you guys have to do specifically better against the U.S. to have a more successful outcome?
Probably a lot of things we did tonight, and I don't know who asked that question. So a lot of this game is about puck management, and sometimes it's not as fun to watch. There's a lot of hard work because much of the game you might be working without the puck, but when you put it in places and go get it back, you can lean on teams. And I think we did that. We didn't do that very well against the U.S. the first game, and made some adjustments in it tonight, and it worked in our favor. So anytime you do those and the guys see a little success, but we have to put stress on them. And I didn't think we did enough. And there was a lot of tribute to them too. They have a phenomenal team, and they defend and play hard. So I think you're going to see two really evenly matched teams go at it. Like I said, the city of Boston will be treated to something special, I think, Thursday night.
Left side, third row.
John, Sam Reinhart's certainly not the flashiest of players, but he does so many things well, whether it's scoring or defensively. Mm-hmm. You've been on the other bench plenty of times against them recently, but I just wanted to get your take on coaching him and what it's been like in terms of just watching the way he does things.
Yeah, he... So it's one of those guys with elite brains, and he may not be the most fleet of foot out there, but he gets there as fast as anybody else because he just knows where to go. And he thinks this game out. And it, what I really like about a lot of his players on this team, what did he have last year? 50, was it? Yeah. So he has damn near 60 goals. And, but he.
Hey.
There we go.
Hey, we're back. Hi.
He starts waxing poetic.
That's the longest we've ever had John Cooper, but he's positive, John.
That's right. McKee hearing it for the team he's cheering for must have been a trip.
Oh, Christ. That guy loves the sound of his own voice. Listen.
It's not personal.
Okay.
It's a great quote.
You think he's that positive back in Tampa? I think if we pulled the guys and said, you know, he must be just...
Is he a ray of sunshine?
Every day.
Yeah. I'm sure not as much.
Do you think... I was just thinking about him during that, and I love the Sidney Crosby walks on water in this country. It's a beautiful line.
Yeah, we know that already.
It's a nice thing. But how is he going to look? Like, he's coaching this team, and he's got to go back to Tampa. I'm just looking at his fourth line today in Tampa. He's like, oh, Mitchell Chafee, Luke Glendening, and Dylan Duke. It's like, that's where you get to go
him,
back.
Boys.
It's like, there. It's going to be... You mentioned it a little bit coming off of this, and like when in your first segment, though, it's going to be really funny to go back into the regular season here.
Listen,
and see coming down off of
this. We're watching the best of the best.
Definitely.
All together, all on one ice, which is, again, fantastic.
We're enjoying it.
And loving every minute of it, yes.
But then you're going to go back, and it's spread. It's spread thinly over 32 teams.
Yeah, it would be so good if there was just 10 less, what the league would look like.
It would look a lot closer to that.
Yeah.
If we had 24 teams, even 24, and less games, guys. Less games.
I actually was thinking about the NFL, and it's a huge advantage to build up to one game and overreact to one game samples. Truly, like for the NHL, this is kind of cool that it's like one game. We're not finding the best teams necessarily that way, but...
Not to get totally ahead of ourselves, but go look at the weekend that these guys are going to have to come off of this rush.
Oh, yeah.
And then go back and play.
But guys, who cares? Who cares?
No, well, we care. We want to protect the game.
I mean, it is...
That's how all these guys take the weekend off.
I think Connor McDavid flying to Philly for a 1 p.m. puck drop against the Flyers on Saturday might be...
They're nuts if they dress them. Well...
I don't know if they're nuts.
Yeah, they're nuts if they dress.
There's a lot of teams scrambling right now to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's about 6-8 teams that cannot have their player for rest.
What do you think Stan Bowman was watching? How was he watching that hockey game on Saturday night?
He's watching McDavid.
Like every general manager around the league watching that game. And listen, I didn't think once, and that's, I think, the true test, is that I didn't think once in that game, I was like, oh, God, please, nobody get hurt. Oh, my God. Like, it had enough stakes to me as a fan, who they're trying to appease to, they're trying to grow to, that I didn't really think about, oh, God, please, Marner, don't get hurt. Oh, God, Matthews, please don't get hurt. I was just out for blood and wanted Canada to win.
But, you know...
So I think that's good.
That conversation would only have been delayed.
What do you mean?
I mean that if Connor ended up with a... separated shoulder or broken collarbone put himself in a position to not be there to start maybe a playoff for whatever reason, then that conversation is like...
So do you think this tournament shouldn't have happened?
I think now that we've gone from nothing after 9 years to this type of tournament or expect this type of intensity moving forward every other year is a very big ask on your most important assets in the league.
It is.
Which I think in turn, when we look back on this, we'll make it all the more special. And we'll make what happened on Saturday night and what we have to come on Thursday, we'll look back and be like, remember how much they tried to kill each other in the middle of a season for a tournament that was invented last season? Like, I do think...
I think this is going to be remembered as a very special event
in
hockey history.
Me too.
But again...
It's the first time back.
There's something really strange going on between Canada and the U.S. And that thing is just
timing.
It's magnified
but,
it by,
you know,
50 times.
Always been that, right?
Yeah.
Like when you had the Soviets and you had like that extra layer is real. And it's...
Yeah. And you think as crazy as this world is, you'll probably have another one in 2 years and another one in 2 years and another one.
But
is that the new norm now?
IIHF won't...
Let a murder...
It won't have that. Like, the Olympics will be unbelievable, but it won't be three guys having a brawl.
We went into this game going, oh, my God, this is set up to be awesome, and it exceeded.
But it's also...
I just want to celebrate
it's,
that.
It's also the fact that they're playing under NHL rules,
yes,
right?
Which is
and
great. Like,
everything came together for it to be amazing. It was unbelievable.
So, well, we
but
want
the,
fights
But the
now.
Game on Sunday
but
is going to be
fights.
Bad, so...
We want fights
I
now.
Want...
right?
I wanted them to win, too. So wasn't that
good. We're pushing for fights.
Well, he did.
Eddie Olchuk, after the break, don't go away. Just getting started.